On today's episode of the podcast, I talk about women holding things, and I talk about the mental load that many of us women and mothers carry in the day to day. I share a tiny little snippet into my brain in terms of the things that I am worrying about in this moment. Hint, the list is actually endless. And I talk about the need that we all have to actually be held and feel held and to have those moments of grounding and silence where we can just be and show up for ourselves instead of always showing up for everybody else. It's a conversation about motherhood, about being a woman, about finding that balance between giving and receiving. Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I am faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Let's dive in. All right, my darlings, my loves, hello, hello. It is that time of the week again, time for a brand new episode of From the Heart with your forever host, Rachel Braithen. Hi, hello. How are we doing? Like, how is everybody? Are you okay? Have you had enough water today? I think that's a really important thing to check in on. Are you taking your electrolytes? Are you eating enough salt? Are you drinking your salts? Do you feel hydrated? How nourished are you in your body? How's your nervous system? Do you feel settled and soothed, or are you a little bit frazzled and all over the place? Like, what's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your body? How about we take a little moment right here, right now, just to check in? Okay, so no big deal. Just close your eyes, place your hands onto your body anywhere you want. And let's take 3 slow, deep, full breaths. Just in through the nose, inhale. And through the nose, take your time to release that breath. Exhale. And let your shoulders drop a little bit for the next breath. Inhale. And see if you can soften your chest. And exhale. Let this next breath be even deeper. So in through the nose, breathe in. And soften your belly. Exhale, breathe out. Just notice what it feels like to be here right now. So many places you could be. You could have found yourself somewhere completely different, but here you are. So in this moment, in this now, how does it feel to have arrived to this place and time? Just a little check-in. How's your heart doing? How are you feeling, really? Not just that surface, you know, how are you doing? What's going on? No, how are you really? And see if you can tune in and go a little bit deeper, maybe peel a layer off and Really feel what is moving in your heart in this moment. Remembering you can feel many things at the same time. Remembering you can be more than one thing at the same time. You can have space in your heart right now for joy and for sadness at the same time. You can feel frustrated and grateful at the same time. And let's take a deeper breath. Inhale in through the nose. And let's open the mouth. Exhale. Let go. Hi. Hi, friend. I just had like a visceral longing in my body of wanting to give you a hug. I'm still sitting here with my eyes closed, really feeling like my heart is speaking to yours. And I just, feel this need to be held in a real long, gentle hug where I can just rest my head on someone's shoulder and let my heart drop and just soften everything and just be for a moment. Everything is moving so quickly right now. I don't know if you can tell or if it feels that way where you are as well. We are in the middle of eclipse season, which generally feels like a very erratic, unpredictable time usually. It's Aries season, so lots of fire and initiation, and maybe you have things that have felt really stagnant in your life for a long time. All of a sudden, they're moving. All of a sudden, things are happening. You know, that really makes sense for where we are. And maybe you feel like things are a little bit all over the place. I've had that feeling over the whole course of the weekend, actually, just feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Feeling a little bit sleep deprived. Oh, hello. And also excited and grateful and so many good things. And I don't know. I just feel this need in my body for things to slow down. So I'm sitting in this little corner of my bedroom here. I have an absolute mess all around me. I closed the door to the bedroom to try to keep the mess out. We're traveling tomorrow. We're going skiing, which is really exciting. Above all, exciting for my husband, because all he talks about every day of the year is when is his next moment of snowboarding. It's all he thinks about. I'm not even kidding. It's become his personality now. Snowboarding. He's Caribbean. He saw snow for the first time like 10 years ago. He's a snowboarder now. But we're going tomorrow, and it's Bear's first time in the slopes, and we just have a lot of things to figure out. Dennis's little brother is here right now, and we just had a really cozy morning at the kitchen table talking about their sister and talking about life and how much has changed and shifted in the past year. The anniversary of her passing is coming up in it's barely 2 weeks away. And looking back at this year that's been, feels like it all happened in a month. It feels like a time warp. Like it is no way did my sister-in-law pass away 1 year ago. That does not make any sense. No. And I think that feeling of, just everything has been happening so quickly and everything feels a little unpredictable and where are we heading and where are we going? I think that is a collective feeling now. I feel like a lot of us are in that space where we just have a huge need to gather ourselves and sit in silence for a while and just ground. But we don't really have the time to do that, right? There's just so much happening in our day. It's hard to prioritize that. So what I've been doing, we did this 12-day yoga challenge. I talked about it a lot on the podcast. Many of you decided to join me. It was so wonderful. You can still join. You can do that 12-day challenge at any time. It won't be live. The live's with me, obviously, because they're on the site. You can find it at yogagirl.com. It was so wonderful to hear from so many of you how that became your moment in your day to ground. And how after doing it a few days in a row, and it's kind of challenging to get to the mat and challenging to carve out the time. And some days we don't feel like it, and it's just like an uphill battle to get there. But then a few days in, it becomes, it's just this thing I do, right? Like I get on the mat at this time, and then here we are. And then it became this place of peace, this place to meet ourselves, this place to just let whatever is actually be felt. That's something that I really struggle with these days. And normally I don't have that problem, but I feel like when I'm carrying a lot, when I'm in charge of a lot of things, when I'm mothering alone, which I've been doing, Dennis has been away with his brother for a few days, 5 days. And I don't get that kind of the day-to-day support of having Dennis around. Where I really feel like every minute of the day is kind of for someone else. Like I'm extended over there for someone else. Bear has been sick. He's had his first really bad. Yeah. Like he had a little cold a couple of weeks ago. And I think this was the same one. It just sort of stretched. Like he got better and then he got a lot worse. And was just had a really high fever and was miserable. And, you know, has been up all night, every night for many days in a row. And we've been kind of half sleeping, sitting up, and he has not wanted to be in anybody's arms and has not wanted to be, you know, crawling or on the floor. Like he's just been glued to my hip. He's a lot better now in the past few days, but he had like, yeah, 4 consecutive days, 5 maybe, where he's just been in my arms 24/7, really, truly 24/7. And without Dennis here, I haven't had those natural pockets in my day of like, okay, take, you know, you take the baby, I go take a bath. Or, yeah, I'm going to go do this. Like, just like I'm going to go down for a little plunge, or I'm going to go to my mat and have my, like having those 12 days in a row of practice every day, long practices every day, 45 minutes to an hour every day. That's the game changer for me. And I have been able to keep it up, but I haven't had the 45 to 1 hour. No, I've been maybe 20, 30 when I've been able to. But then Dennis left and I was alone with Bear. And then when he's sleeping, it's like, I have so much to get to. I have to do the dishes. I have to do the laundry. I have so much to clean. I have to do the podcast. I have to do a million things. And then he's awake, you know, it's like, and we go back into it again. So that feeling of, oh, I just need a silent space to just be for a moment where I only have to be for myself. I feel that visceral craving in my bones. That feeling of, okay, I want someone to hold me. Like I want to, wish I could hug you. That feeling feels so palpable of, I just would like to collapse my whole body weight into something and not have to hold anyone and not have to hold anything up. And I really, really think for the person and the family, which is a lot of us and a lot of you listening, in many ways, often is the mother, right? The one who holds the most. Oh, that reminds me. I saw this incredible video. It was a poem called Women Holding Things. Oh, wait, let me see if I can play it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? I would spend this hour in the morning to move my body. I would get on my yoga mat and do my yoga practice all by myself each and every day. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. That is honestly what a lot of my therapy sessions involve, putting things into perspective. A lot of us spend so much time focusing on the problems in our lives that we waste time that could be spent on the beautiful things that we actually have. Therapy has helped me reframe my life, notice what's really important, and set strong boundaries so I avoid things that are simply wasting my time. The more I practice, the more I realize that I actually do have time for those special things. I do have time to get on the mat every day. I just need to prioritize it. If you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/yogagirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/yogagirl. Okay, I found it. Okay, so it's actually a book. It's a book of illustrations by this woman called Myra Kallman. So it's essentially a poem, and it's called Women Holding Things.
One day at a farmer's market, I saw a woman carrying an absolutely gigantic cabbage. When I asked to photograph her, she looked really annoyed. And for some reason, I was so delighted by her crankiness. It seemed so authentic and true. Let's just say what we feel. It made me think of all the things women hold literally and metaphorically. Balloons and grudges and heavy loads and cabbages and stupendous love and courage and a pink ukulele under a cherry tree. And from this, a book was formed, Women Holding Things. What do women hold? The home and the family and the children and the food, the friendships, the work of the world and the work of being human. Sometimes when I'm feeling particularly happy or content, I think I can provide sustenance for legions of human beings. I can hold the entire world in my arms. Other times I can barely cross the room and I drop my arms frozen. There is never an end to holding, and certainly there is often the feeling of never doing enough. One day at a farmer's market,
I find that so absolutely, utterly true. There's never an end to holding. How beautiful is that? Women holding things. And it's so true. We hold so much. And I really think when we look at the balance of what we hold, how much we hold all the time versus how much we actually are allowed to just be held. Most of us, you know, spend the majority of our day holding things. We hold cabbages and the family and the food and the children and the grudges and love and all of it together. We hold everything together. The fabric of our families, the fabric of our society is held together by women. And it's a rare thing to get to melt and be completely held by someone or something. And I think having that just need pop up is really our inner wisdom talking to us, telling us that it's time to do something that is just for you. And it's so hard to do that. And I feel like I'm in this place of, I have so much support. I have Dennis, you know, all the time, and I have good friends, and I have my mom in my life now, and she comes over all the time to be with kids and to help. And, you know, we have so much. And still, I feel at times like I'm holding too much. I was trying to explain to Dennis today just the mental load. And this is talked about a lot. I love that this is a topic that's just in the front of all of our minds these days. But the mental load of women versus the mental load of men. And it's a really hard concept for him to understand. He's like, just write me a list and like, I will help you and I will do the things. And I'm like, well, just the process of writing the list, like that is part of the mental load. The fact that I spend so much time in my day to day writing lists for everybody so that everybody knows what they have to do. You know, I could never just tell Dennis, like, we're going on this trip. You pack for the kids. No, there's no way. There's 0% chance. I mean, obviously, if I just completely left that to him, he would pack things and it would be incomplete. And there would be things missing and it would be okay. It wouldn't be the end of the world. It's not like, you know, they wouldn't freeze to death. Like it would be okay. But it's just not part of how things are done. It's not natural for him to go, I'm going to take charge and I'll be the one packing for the children. No, it's like, I know exactly what is needed. I know how to comprehensively really think of the week and all the scenarios we may encounter and exactly what Leia will need for all of that and what Bear will need for all of that and what I will need and also the things that Dennis will need that he will forget about. And that includes like our supplements and this cream because Leia has some eczema and she needs that every day. And we can't forget this specific monitor that we use for Bear when he's in the stroller and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And maybe we should bring bathing suits because there's a little spa at that place that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's a million things. And I just tried to explain to him as I'm like showing him, here is how I'm packing for the kids. I'm like, the fact that it's just a given that I'm the one doing the packing and I'm not complaining about it. It's just like, this is what I do. I would rather do it because I want to know that it's done right. Like there's a mental load that I have to carry there knowing that I'm the one that should be doing this so that it gets done well. And then writing the list so that you do the things that you need to do and nothing is forgotten. Like there's a mental load to that. The planning of everything, the planning of like, we're going to arrive at that time. How are we going to eat there? We probably should pack lunch because it's going to be really hard to figure lunch out at that time. And then how do we pack lunch? Well, we have to go to the grocery store. And what happens before we go to the grocery store? Well, I have to plan out the grocery list and decide what we're eating and then, you know, go and do the shopping and make the food and then pack the food and make sure everybody's hydrated and then, you know, book the taxi and then do that thing and plan for dinners for the week. We're going to stay in this cabin and there's no restaurants around. So probably we should bring some stuff from home. And it's just like thinking of every scenario that we may encounter. And this is just for this one trip. Like this is not life. It's just this one thing that we're doing. I literally just, that's how my brain works. I think of every scenario that may or may not occur. What could we possibly need? What could possibly go wrong? What could elevate this trip? You know, what could we be missing that we wouldn't be able to source there? How do I make sure that every person in this family, including Ringo, including the dog who's also coming, like has everything they need at all times? There's a lot of thinking that goes into that. There's a lot of list making. There's a lot of contemplating. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of planning for every step of our lives. And then, of course, there are many things that Dennis does that I do not do. An example of that is I haven't thought a single time of how we're going to transport snowboards and skis. I'm not thinking about that. Like, how are we going to get them? Because that's Dennis's job. Which means he will need to put the roof box, this like ski box on top of the car, which I assume is a little bit challenging. It's heavy and bulky, but I'm not worried about like how that's going to happen. Like he just takes care of that. Like, you know, he has his areas, of course, and I have my areas. But the difference I think in a lot of this is that he's not spending that time planning for every scenario that could occur around the roof box. You know, he's not worried about what will happen if Leia has a flare up in her eczema when we're on this trip. And if that would happen, it's not a big deal. Like he wouldn't think it's a thing. I'm thinking about all the things that could go wrong and all the things that we may need. And then in those scenarios, where would we go? Who would we call? How would we figure that out? I'm just making sure that we're covered in all ways. And all of that, like the worrying, like the mental load of doing all the worrying. We talk about this all the time. Like my husband can't fully relate to the amount of worrying that I do on just a day-to-day, all the time basis at all. Like if you can just at any moment of any day, just ask me like, hey, what are you worrying about right now? And I can tell you 50 things that I have going in the back of my mind that I'm slightly concerned about and trying to figure out. I can just off the top of my head let you know a couple of the things right now. I'm worried about our tooth and dental health right now and have spent a considerable amount of time researching remineralizing toothpaste for the family to help remineralize our teeth. And I'm concerned that we're not brushing well enough and we should be oil pulling more, which we did but then stopped. And I'm wondering if Leia's old enough to start using a tongue scraper or no. And is she going to have a cavity because she had a lot of candy over the past weeks because she had a birthday and everything. And I'm just like thinking really about, you know, how our dental health now really lays the foundation for not just our dental health in the future, but our whole entire health. It really relates to every major inner organ of the body. I'm really thinking about that. I'm thinking about Leia's skin all the time. She gets these little eczema flare-ups that come, and I really think it relates to food, and I definitely never want to use any cortisone on her body, and eczema is an internal issue, and she used to have that when she was little. And Bear also, both of my kids have really sensitive skin. Like, he needs lotion after every bath, or he gets these patches of just super dry skin, and I'm worried about that and thinking about that all the time, truly all the time. And should I take Leia back to the functional medicine doctor to address this? Or should we just, is it like that she's had a lot of sugar lately and she's not super happy at her new school, or she's been for a term and a half, or she's happy, but I'm not entirely happy. I don't think the school is great. I'm not stoked about it at all. I'm not stoked about the school system in Sweden overall. And I've been researching all the schools in all the districts around us. And I've made meetings. We're going to go visit 4 different kinds of schools to see if it's better. And then if we want to move her, it's a whole big process. I've been researching into that process. And then I'm really worried, like, is that going to work out for her? Is she going to be, what if it's worse there? Or what if this school is that she's at now is worse, but she has a better friend situation than she would have at that school that might be better? What if people aren't cool? What if we move her and it's worse? What if this is not a good time to be doing any of this? Should I be letting go more? I worry that I worry too much. Can she tell that I'm worrying? She was really sad yesterday because I missed breakdance. When Dennis was away, she goes to breakdance on Mondays. I was really overwhelmed and Bear was sick and I couldn't drive her to breakdance. And she was really sad about that. And I'm thinking, does she feel like I failed her as a mom? You know, am I a flaky mom now? Like, no one else missed dance that day, but I missed dance that day. And I just think about that all the time. And then, you know, Bear has been really sick and I wonder if he has pain in his ears. And I made this oil for his ears that you drip into the ears, but then I didn't use it. I just had a feeling like, what if he has a perforated eardrum? And I just intuitively like didn't use the oil. And then I think that happened, but I'm not entirely sure. And he's happier now. He just doesn't have I'm just giving you like a little tiny snapshot into what I think about all fucking day. And this does not end. And I mean, and this is just like, I just went into like children's health stuff. And I have 2 very healthy, thriving children. Okay. Bear had his first cold. Leia has a little rash. And I'm like going bananas into space about all the different things that I should be doing better, researching nutrition and the right kind of supplements and the right kind of toothpaste, the right kind of cream for her eczema, and the right kind of probiotics, and how all of these things. Like, my dear husband, I love him. He has never thought one time of any of these things, ever. It has never occurred to him whether or not we are brushing with the most optimal toothpaste. It would never cross his mind. He knows Leia has a rash. It's not a big deal. Like, it's not like it's always there. It's just like a little rash. It's not bad. It comes and goes. Like, he does not worry about that ever. Bear was sick. Now he's great. Nothing's wrong. Like, you know? And then this, of course, extends into every area of life, like the house, the garden, my business, Dennis's work, our marriage, our relationship, our sex life, my friendships, like my community, the state of the world, the state of chaotic things happening all over the place, the state of our future. Like, I am carrying and holding the responsibility of everything, everywhere, all the time.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm not blaming my husband for this because he did not create this inside of me. But I'm just really, really contemplating, why is it that this is the more natural way to be for a woman versus a man? Why is it that women are holding, in general, more things than men, especially the mental load and the mental worry? And I don't know, I don't have an answer to that. Part of it, I think, is that because I've done this for our family for so long and I've been this person forever, it sort of gives my husband a free pass to not have to, right? Like, I really genuinely wonder if I were to disappear, if I were to go away for a month, if I were to die, like if I would just check out of my position as person who holds everything, like what would happen? Would he automatically step into that role, or am I filling a role that is unnecessary? Would he then start looking into the eczema and the remineralizing toothpaste and whether Bear needs a different kind of lotion for his skin and should we see the functional medicine doctor and should she change her school and blah, 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 blah. Or would he just let things be and everything would be okay anyway? This is where my mind is at. Is this mental load that I'm carrying, is it unnecessary or is it adding an extra level of nurturing to my family who really, truly, deeply needs it? I don't know. This is a hypothetical question. I don't know. I mean, I do know I care deeply about our health. And that includes, I mean, I just spoke about the kids now, but like if it wasn't, this is not an exaggeration. This might sound, it's going to sound condescending. It's going to sound like I'm exaggerating. I am not. If it wasn't for me, my husband would not drink a single glass of water all day. I am not kidding you. I kid you not. We start every single morning, every day. I come downstairs. Dennis and Leigh are always already downstairs. They sneak up a little bit earlier. And I pour two glasses of water and I give them a glass of water each. Or they would not drink. You know, Leia's seven. And then all through the day, I have to check in. Like, hey, did you drink water? Did you have water? Here's a glass of water. Did you drink today? And then on the days when he's like out the door really quickly and I don't see him all day because he's working all day, and then he comes home and he has a headache every time. Oh, my head hurts. I'm like, oh, how much water did you have today? He's like, does the water that I filter my beans through count? Coffee. Like, he has coffee. Coffee technically is also water. But it does not count as hydrating yourself. No, it does not count. No. And yes, that's why you have a headache, like every fucking time. So I do genuinely know and trust that the level of nurturing that my worrying and concern and planning and, you know, tending to actually does for the family is really valuable and really important. And I don't know, just things that for me mean matter a lot just don't matter as much to him. And I'm not saying that that's worse or bad, except it is a little worse. It's a little worse, a tiny bit. Okay, don't tell him. But like an example, like he makes Leia breakfast every morning. I have to plan that breakfast every day. If I say nothing and then like a week pass and we haven't talked about what is Leia having for breakfast, if I'm in bed with Bear still, like if we have a bad week of sleeping and I'm still in bed and he does breakfast and then takes Leia to the bus, the answer will be yogurt. And it'll be just yogurt. And maybe for many of you listening, that is great. That is a well-rounded, super healthy, awesome breakfast. In my book, like, no, 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 it's cold outside. It's freezing. And she's having cold yogurt in a bowl with jam. Like, that is not a wholesome breakfast. No. And then I start over by sending the recipes, and here's how we make the protein pancakes. And then you take the blueberries from the freezer, put them in a pan, in a pot, and you just add a little dash of maple syrup, and then that's jam, but it's healthier than the store-bought shitty jam. And it's with Swedish wild blueberries, which is really important, and it has a lot of antioxidants in it, and the protein pancakes. And she gets 3 eggs. And it's like she might not eat anything else all day, even if she has a shitty lunch and a shitty snack. It's like, and you put collagen in there, and then, you know, you have half a banana and a little bit of this. Then it's like, if she starts her day with that, and then a warm cup of herbal tea, please. I want her to hit a fruit or a berry and a fat, like a good fat. You cook those pancakes in ghee or grass-fed butter, and then protein focused pancakes, okay? And then she has all that together like that, and then in peace, please, not like while stressing her because you're late. Like, I want her to have that moment in the morning. And I mean, I'm listening to myself, like, I know what I sound like. You don't have to tell me, okay? I know. And the choice I make is I can either get up 45 minutes earlier than I do, even if we had a shitty night's sleep, and just skip that and then go make the breakfast, right? But I actively choose many times, not all the time, but I actively choose to, like, okay, he's got it. He can make breakfast. But I have to still do the mental prep work for that breakfast to happen the way I want it to happen, which is the way I feel is better, right? So yeah, I guess it is a little bit condescending where he feels, hey, a bowl of yogurt, let's go run, you know, come on, hurry up. Like, that's fine. That's not a big deal. Like, she's nourished and loved, and she gets everything she needs in so many ways. And, you know, I don't know what it is. And I would love to get better at letting go. I do. I really, truly wish. And oftentimes it's like, that's fine. And then she has a little eczema flare up. And then I go into that place of like, oh my God, okay, well, wait, how is her diet right now? Like, is she hydrated enough? Like, how's your stomach? And then I realized, like, I haven't, like, checked in. She's so old now. You don't have that, like, a 7-year-old. You don't have that same presence around, like, how's your digestion? You don't know unless something is severely wrong, you know, versus when they're little and you're, like, supporting them through that and wiping them and taking care of them in that way. Like, you always know, like, how their digestion's doing. And Leia's a little bit aloof. So then I just started to realize, wait, maybe she's not been feeling good for a long time. And it's because, like, her diet's been off and this hasn't been working and she's been too stressed in the morning. And then I make it into a thing and it's a problem I have to fix. When actually, like, maybe asking Leia or Dennis, it's like, there's no issue. Yeah, she has a bit of she has a little rash. It's not a big deal. Calm down. And maybe my thing makes it a thing, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I'm just really contemplating, like, holding things. And I also, like, I know the amount of time that I spend thinking about the state of the world and this feeling of wanting to help and feeling powerless and the sense of responsibility. Like, what is this world that we are leaving for our children and their children, and what is going to happen to us? That is a holding. That's definitely a holding. And I know so many of us carry that every day, all the time. And there's a powerlessness that comes along with that that's just heavy, like really heavy. And it doesn't end unless we consciously make an effort to pause. That is all I know. It doesn't just all of a sudden one day my brain has decided, hey, you've held enough now. Let's put the load down. Like, no, that doesn't happen. We have to consciously make the effort to pause. And I don't think that has to mean that we let go and all of a sudden we don't meticulously care about our babies or about our work or about our friends or about all these areas where we are carrying a lot. But that we pause and that we can trust that, hey, I can, like, hand over the reins to someone else for a little while, or I can put this down for a little bit and the ship is not going to sink. Right? Like, nobody's going to die. It's not going to be the end of the world disaster. It might not unfold, like, our day today might not unfold exactly the way I want it to be, but we're all going to be okay. And chances are, along the way, if you let that more carefree person, like take the lead once in a while, that unexpected fun things are going to happen along the way. And that is something that is so true about how my husband does things compared to me. Because there's less planning involved, there is much more unexpected fun. Like if you don't pack lunch and you realize everybody's hungry, oh shit, where are we going to go? Interesting. Adventure. And we end up driving somewhere, finding a super fun restaurant somewhere that we would have never encountered without that. And that was next to this adventure park. Let's go there. Like there's things that happen in the unexpected. And for that to even have space to exist, you have to stop with the planning, right? You have to leave space for the unknown. So it's probably good that people like me tend to marry people like Dennis. Isn't that so true? Like every woman I know who is this kind of like type A planning, holding a lot of things person, somehow has ended up with a person who is so carefree, so relaxed, so chill. Because how crazy would it be if we were all carefree and relaxed? Like we can't all chill. No, that's like a fairy fantasy land. Like that's not true. We can't all be relaxed. Someone has to be uptight and make sure that the children are fed. Okay, that's just facts. But I wonder what it actually is like to, even just for like a brief moment, have that carefreeness of a man who knows he has a wife who's holding it down. Isn't that so true? Come on, can I get an amen for that? I mean, how many men are so content peacefully thinking about soccer while sitting, taking a 45-minute dump right now, knowing they are absolutely within the framework of being able to do that because they have a woman in their lives holding it down. That is so true. I'm not even kidding. I'm laughing because it's so true. And if the 45 minutes poops, like what are they doing in there? It will never cease to amaze me. I full on cannot understand. The idea for me to spend 45 minutes sitting on the toilet, it's like I would need to be on my deathbed or something for that to happen. Like there's no way ever. Nay, that's just, it's not in my DNA to do that. But it's in so many of the men's DNA. I don't get it. Anyway, women holding things.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Something that I am holding is this bear. I think I shared a couple of weeks. Yeah, I did share. Yeah, I have mommy thumb. I really hate this word for this condition that I have. It's called the Kervance syndrome, which is when this tendon that goes along the inside of your thumb up into your wrist becomes completely overworked and starts just sending you excruciating pain. And I mean, that's also kind of funny that like I've held something very precious to me for so long now that it's basically busted my whole hand. That's how much we hold sometimes. And I've been wearing a brace for a really long time and it's not getting better. I don't know. I feel I'm in a little bit of agony about it. I thought it was getting better and now it's not. And it's interesting. Like, how do you keep holding things when your hands no longer work? It's a whole different set of challenges. And what I'm supposed to be doing is resting. But how do you rest that one hand when you have a 9-month-old who only wants to be in your arms every moment of every day? Like, it is a challenging thing. And what I realized, or what I decided to do, instead of being, you know, all beat up about it, or feel just like this feeling for me sometimes with pain when I feel like I'm physically incapable of doing what I want to do with my body, I tend to get really depressed about that. I tend to feel like I can't perform at my most optimal way. And, you know, I want to do my yoga and I want to teach now and I want to be on my hands and I want to use this hand and I can't use my hand at all. Like, I'm supposed to just keep it in a brace and not use it. And I decided to just, instead of letting myself become all, you know, sad and broken up about that, I am going to find other ways. I'm going to find other ways to continue getting stronger. And I decided, this is so new to me, so I almost don't want to talk about it, but I decided to start going to the gym really purposefully, with the purpose of getting stronger, like actually getting physically stronger in the rest of my body. And I can't use my right hand. And that's an experience, like being at the gym, strength training, not being able to use your right hand. Like, that's a challenge. But it's been so rewarding. I cannot explain. It's been, okay, it's only been 3 weeks of consistently really going to the gym. But I feel so much steadier in my body already. And that feeling of like I can hold anything, it's just like it's really proving to be so true as I purposefully, consciously make an effort to hold heavier and heavier things at the gym. And maybe that's somehow the point, is putting ourselves in these uncomfortable situations where we on purpose hold the heavy weight so that the rest of the weight in the day-to-day can disperse more easily through the body. So instead of carrying everything on this one hand, gripping on for dear life until your whole wrist gives out, which is what I've done, to get to that place of stability and steadiness in your entire being, so that when you hold everything you have to hold, you're holding it from a place of center. You're not holding on with this one side kind of about to topple over like so many of us are, like we're gripping at the skin of our teeth just to make life work. And this feeling that I get when I go to the gym and I do these purposefully challenging things and carrying heavy things on purpose, it's like I get home and I feel lighter in what I carry in the day to day. And I guess that's what getting stronger really means, right? And it's been so much fun going to the gym, doing gym person stuff. Like, I will never be a gym person. I would love to, but it's just, that's not who I am. Gym people to me are just mesmerizing. Like, I find it so amazing. People who just walk into the gym and they know what to do, and then they do it, and then they go home. Like, that person who just knows the gym, like, that's just never going to be me. Like, I am completely clueless. I need someone to guide me. But I am starting to get that first little revelatory moment of, like, I'm getting stronger here. And it's not the same as in our yoga practice, where with consistent practice, everything feels easier. You get more and more ease in everything. I very rarely have that moment, at least in the past like 5-6 years, where I'm like, ooh, I had a revelation about my strength in my yoga practice. No, I haven't had that in a long time. And there's a level of like yoga strength that I have in my body that I'm always going to have. I can hold a plank forever. Like, you can put me in plank pose and I will chill there forever. I have no problem. But then tell me to do a sit-up. Yeah, no, thank you. Or a pull-up. Like, come on. No, never going to happen. I mean, maybe. I don't want to say never, but it's just, yeah, I don't have that level of strength. I have yoga strength, which is a different thing. But that feeling of like, okay, I'm holding and carrying and lifting these weights and I'm getting stronger and I can hold heavier and heavier things and feel really solid in my body about that. Like, it's changing something inside. I don't know how to explain it. It's making me feel like I can stand a little sturdier on the earth. And maybe there's a key here in this somehow, like in the idea of all the things that we hold as women, and making that conscious choice to, instead of feeling overwhelmed by the things that we have to carry and wanting to put things down and asking for more help and kind of feeling despair around, like, why are we holding so much? What if the answer to that is just to get stronger? It kind of goes against everything I normally feel when it comes to this. Like, I really feel like we need permission to ask help. We should have more support. Like, we absolutely all deserve and are worthy of more support, not just by our spouses and partners, and but by our people, by our communities, by the world, 1000%. But there's a part of me also that feels like, hey, probably no matter what happens, no matter how much support shows up for me in different areas of my life, I am still going to be holding a lot of things. I'm a mom. That's never going to go away. That's never going to one day just change. So I might as well roll with that and just work on getting as strong as I can possibly get so I can hold and not fall apart. Yeah. You guys, I'm gonna get really strong. Okay, I feel immediate shame as I said that. I don't know why. I'm gonna get really strong. I would love to get really strong. Yeah. I do. I don't know why that feels a little bit intimate to share. Like, that felt like a vulnerable share. I guess because it implies that there are ways where I do not feel strong. There are ways and areas in my life where I feel really weak. Yeah, that's hard for me to swallow. But it's true. Yeah. So I'm going to get really strong. What are you? What are you doing? What are you doing so you can hold all of this? What are you actively changing or shifting in your life? What are you inviting? What are you longing for? What are you making space for so that you can hold everything you need to hold and not fall apart? And it doesn't have to be, I want to get stronger, right? It could literally be, I want to get better at asking for help, or I want to let myself get softer, or I want to communicate better around what I'm feeling, or I want to just be held. Like, that is all. Like, if I'm held once in a while and really supported once in a while, I can hold it all. No problem. Yeah, my people, I thank you for being here, listening to me rambling about women holding things. And look up that TED Talk. It's actually a TED Talk. Just YouTube it, women holding things, and watch the whole thing. It's magical. Okay, have a beautiful day. Take a break. Don't forget to rest. Take care of your body. And I'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.